Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to connecting with you every single day to hopefully bring you conversations that inspire you in your faith walk, deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Got a great program planned for you today, and here's a question to get the conversation started. Do you have a daughter who's found the man of her dreams, and is she ready to start planning a wedding? Well, my friends Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family join me today to talk about the kinds of conversations you should have with your future son-in-law. I just want you to know we're drawing from the content of an article that Greg wrote. You can find it online at focusonthefamily.com/son-in-law, and I'll give you that web address again in a little while. Both Dr. Greg and Aaron serve as leadership roles in Focus on the Family. Aaron serves as a strategic spokesperson for Marriage and Ministries, and Greg's a vice president for Family Ministries. Honored to have him with us today. I know Aaron is on her way in, so she'll hop on the mic as soon as she gets here, but we're going to start out with the big Gregory. Greg, good to talk with you today.
Susie, love being with you. This is one of our favorite things to do. It's been a while, so I've been wondering, did I offend you, or maybe you just didn't, you know, getting a lot of crit from your audience based on what I say.
Well, I keep changing the phone number, and you keep finding it somehow, so I don't know. We just got to have these conversations.
The miracle of social media. You cannot run or hide.
You know where to find me. Well, I know you've been traveling to New Zealand. You've been out for two weeks, and the fact that you can form complete sentences after a trip like that, I'm super impressed. So it's so good to have you today. Thanks for joining me.
Yeah, it's great to be here, and I see my beautiful wife is about to sit down, so she will jump in here within seconds.
All right. Well, I didn't give you a heads up, but I'm feeling you should know this after all of these years. We like to start out by talking scripture. So do you have a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Hebrews 13:4, which, Susie, I talk about a lot, but it's so perfect for what we're going to be doing, which is marriage should be honored by all. And I have three daughters. I have one son. As you know, especially for my girls, you know, someday some young man is going to come and ask for her hand in marriage. And a part of how I can honor marriage and honor their marriage is to have a better sense of what's important to really ask this young man, and to ask him things so that it even sets up in his mind, his thinking that again, we need to be honoring marriage. And so I love that verse out of Hebrew, because all of us need to be honoring marriage. And so maybe for some, maybe there's no husband in the picture. And so this is, you know, this young man is going to come talk to her mom. All I know is when my son-in-law Caleb came to talk to me, Susie, I got all nervous thinking, I know I should ask him some good questions. I'm not sure what to ask him. And it sent me on a journey to start interviewing, you know, dads, men and women who had been through this already. You know, what did you
love
ask?
That.
What was important? And then look at research. And Aaron and I spent a ton of time just kind of thinking through, and we boiled it down to, hey, there's really 12 questions to ask, again, so that you are honoring this future marriage.
Okay, so I want to get into the content, and I'm putting you on the spot.
And Aaron's here, by the way.
Okay, hey, Aaron.
Hello.
Yay.
How are you,
huh? Good to chat with you.
Good to be with you, as always.
I can picture your cute face right now. So good to
have
you.
I get to stare at that cute face the whole time.
You're blessed indeed, Greg. So before we dig into the content of the article, I have to believe there's an incident in here somewhere revolving around, you know, your daughter's love of her life, connecting with him. Surely you've got a story to tell. Can you think of one?
So Taylor and Caleb have been married now for,
as I say it, Caleb.
Yeah, have been married for about 3 years. And so when he called me, and he's, you know, can barely speak and form intelligent sentences, and which is wild because he's a rocket scientist, so he's in the aerospace as an engineer. So he's stammering, and I said, hey, he goes, I have to ask you something real important. I said, if you're going to ask me for my daughter's hand in marriage, we're not doing this over the phone. And he goes, okay. And so I said, if you're ready for that conversation, then I will buy you a ticket. Come with me to a marriage seminar that I teach.
Because so, I wasn't going to be there. So it worked out great that Greg would have one-on-one time with poor Caleb.
So I made him sit through a marriage seminar as I stared at him the whole time. And then actually we ended up having a great conversation. But leading up to that event, I said, Caleb, I need to talk to your parents first. So can you give me your dad's cell phone number? And I just need to make sure that they're good with Taylor, our daughter, that they bless her. And so he gave me a number, and I text this number and said, hey, Greg Smalley, and your son is asking me about my daughter and for her hand in marriage. But before I can give him that answer, I need to know, are you good with Taylor? That kind of a thing. Well, I get this response back. And it said, hey, great to meet you, Greg. Caleb's been dating several women. And honestly, I'm not sure which one is Taylor. Could you send me a photo so I know which one we're talking about? And I'm thinking, that's pretty funny. I love that he's got this great sense of humor. But I was waiting for the, ha-ha, just kidding. That didn't come for about 5 hours.
Oh.
So then I started going, wait, maybe this is for real. Maybe this boy is a player, and what is happening? And then I finally get a response, another text, and it said, hey, just kidding. This is the wrong number. Just having some fun with you.
You so, got to be friends with that guy.
Yeah. Get the real number, and good luck with that. So I texted Caleb back, and I said, okay, that's strike one. So you only have two more, so be careful, but can you get me the right number? So ultimately, I had a great conversation with his dad, and they gave that blessing. Because Aaron and I believe, there actually, before you have the talk with a young man, there's some people that you need to talk to before, his parents being one of them.
Yeah, and also the group of friends, you know, what's the overall feel? That parents and those important people within their lives have about their relationship. Are there any big red flags that are screaming that need to be addressed? And so it's important. One of the biggest predictors of success of this relationship, the future relationship, is that the parents have that blessing to give. Now, I know there's circumstances where there's not always going to be that blessing, and it doesn't mean that the relationship is doomed, but it is really important that important people within each of their lives are on board and they see the potential in this relationship.
Well, you know, moms tend to have kind of an extra instinct, you know, it seems.
Yes, maybe you do.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't know if I was treading on dangerous ground, but it just feels like
maybe
we live in that heightened sense of, you know, whatever. But what, you know, the kids, Taylor and Caleb, were out of town, right, when they were connected. So what was your sense, Aaron, about this?
The funny thing,
did you have a chance?
I was just at Caleb's house last night dropping something, or Caleb and Taylor's. Taylor was at work at the hospital. Caleb was home, and I went to drop some stuff off and visited with him for a little bit and left. And we started talking about the very first time I met him. He came with one of Taylor's mutual friends to our house over spring break, and he sat at our countertop, and I made him eggs and toast. And he was a total stranger, like I'd never met him before. And I told him after they started dating, I remember that moment so clearly, because as I was chatting with him and making him breakfast, I just remembered thinking, huh, I wonder if Taylor's noticed him. And I wonder if he's noticed Taylor, because I saw a quality in him of the fact that he's just a good person through and through. And I saw that in him. And so when Taylor said, hey, you know, there's a possibility I might, you know, I've been visiting, and they were long distance. So they were Skyping and FaceTiming. And then she went out to see him, and then they started dating. I was all on board. And then seeing them together and how he treated her, I wasn't surprised that that's how he did treat her so well, and has continued to do that. He treats our whole family very, very well. So my gut intuition was right.
Boy,
and that's why, beautiful. Susie, it's so important that we we talk to the parents, that we make sure that we talk to the daughter's mom, because this could be a family who's gone through a divorce, and so, you know, it could be an ex-spouse. But I still want to know what is your gut? What are you seeing any red flags? Are you good with this? But probably the most important person, though, to talk to prior to having the discussion with your future son-in-law is your daughter. And so I sat Taylor down and I said, you know, what do you think? How are you with this? Do you have any concerns? Because sometimes maybe she's having some doubts. Maybe she's having some concerns about him, or there's something going on that I don't want to be giving this young man my blessing if my own daughter's hesitant.
kind of important. I always tell Murphy, it's not that I need to like the guy, it's that you need to like the guy.
Oh, wow. How many daughters need to hear that? Because I think sometimes parents are saying, you don't need to like him. I like him for enough for
right.
both of us.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a little backwards.
Let's just
we
arrange.
Want him in our family.
Yeah. Because I've told my daughters and our son, because son's 18, our daughters are in their 20s, but especially with Taylor, I said, honey, you have to understand this, that this is 100% your choice. This is between you and the Lord. You get to pick. If I have some concerns, I'm going to share those. But I want you to know that I will walk you down the aisle to whoever you choose. That is your choice. And that's why that discussion with your own daughter is so critical, because she needs to know that you're choosing. You're choosing someone that you're going to spend a lifetime with. And therefore, I want to make sure that you're good with this decision as well.
Wow. We're going to pause here. When we come back, I want to just address one point before we get through the questions you should ask your son-in-law. And this is the point I want you both to speak to. Is you mentioned this in the article that you wrote that's up on FocusOnTheFamily.com, but that proposals often hide things where some people are glossing over thinking a proposal and a following marriage will solve certain problems. So you hide things in the proposal, so to speak. Maybe there, as you said, there's a pregnancy. Maybe there's a conflict. Let's just get married. And I'm planning this great event thinking that's somehow going to solve this underlying problem. Love for you both to speak of that's not what this is for and how dangerous that can be. And then we'll talk about some of these questions that you should ask your son-in-law, whether you're a mom or a dad. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. We'll be back in a moment. Much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking with my dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family. Today we're talking about conversations you should have with your future son-in-law. And before the break, we were talking about first have that conversation with your daughter if she's found the one that she wants to marry. And there's an article up on Focus on the Family. It's focusonthefamily.com/son-in-law if you want to draw from the content we're talking about today. But in that article, you guys talked about how proposals can hide any number of things. And it's under the point about are there any red flags. I want you both to speak to that because so often, oh my goodness, this happens where, you know, there's crisis, there's some kind of breakdown. I know what to do. We need to plan a good party. You know, we need to plan a happily ever after without dealing with the root cause. To me, it's like treating a symptom and not the issue. And Aaron, I'll start with you.
You know, it is so important, Susie. Absolutely. It's so easy to get caught up into the planning of the wedding and the engagement and the celebration of the engagement versus looking at what are there any real concerns here, red flags that, you know, within this relationship, there's been abuse. What's their previous relationship history look like? What does their family of origin patterns look like? And just really looking at, you know, are there things that we need to really address? Again, I know when people hear these things, they go, well, ugh, that means that we will never get engaged and get married if, you know, anybody listening has any of these red flags. The truth is there's lots of work you can do beforehand. And I encourage couples get into a lot of millennials and youngers love pre-engagement counseling. So doing counseling to see if they should get engaged, just exploring, like, is this a good fit? Are we a good fit? Because it's much better to address these things prior to walking down the aisle than after.
Very good. Greg, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, there's one of the best marriage research surgeons on the planet, easy for me to say.
Yeah.
His name is Dr. John Gottman, and he has a really interesting thing that he does. He can predict with 94% accuracy couples who are likely to divorce simply based on their story. How do they tell their love story? Was this a, you know, as we tell the love story, is it, well, you know, I'm getting up on in, you know, in years, you know, and I'm not sure that I'm really going to find anybody. And, you know, we've been dating long enough to where I kind of owe her, you know, to pop the question. I mean, there's a way that someone can tell a story that really tells you a lot about their relationship. And that's why a great way, this is what I did with Caleb. Even though I knew their love story, I said, hey, let's start this whole process by just tell me how you guys met and fell in love. Give me your love story. That's all I said. Listening for some concerns like that. And I love their story, and I didn't have any concerns, but that's a great, easy way just to get a sense of what's gone on within their relationship.
Yeah, Susie, I had a client several years back that they were both, one was 40, one was 44 years old. And I loved hearing their story, because you would expect like, oh, you know, we were heading into our 40s. And so we knew we wanted to get married someday. And so thus we got engaged and got married. But instead what they did, they talked about, you know what, we never had really found the one we wanted to spend our life with. And the wife had had some major trust issues with men. And she said, you know what, I didn't want to trust a lot of men, but then I met him and wow, I knew that this was worth the risk and it was worth stepping into this relationship at the fear of the trust stuff being rising up. But yet both of them, even in their 40s, never once did I hear them say, well, it was just time. You know, instead it was, this person was worth pursuing. I had waited a long time for this person and I found him.
Boy, that's so good. And I know we've kind of teed this off as, you know, something, conversations you should have with your son-in-law. But as I'm looking at these points, they're really for anybody considering marriage. I say that to say for the broader audience, you might not have a daughter. You might not have a son who's getting ready to get married, but maybe you're just thinking of getting married. You need to ask yourself these things. So the first question you guys address, and Greg, speak to this, and Aaron after that, if you would. Mm-hmm. Are you united spiritually? Speak to that one.
Well, the biggest understanding is that God isn't a matchmaker. So he doesn't run something called e-heavenly dating service. we don't, you know, subscribe to the notion that there's this one magical, the one out there, because that's, there's one, no scriptural evidence of that. But more importantly, the kind of hallmark of humanity is that God has given us a choice. First and foremost, are we going to give our life to him? He stands at the door and knocks. He doesn't force that upon us. And in the same way, he's created billions of amazing people. And when I was, Aaron and I, when we were dating, I went to a good friend of mine, Susie, a good friend of yours as well, Dr. John Trent, and he and my father would write books together. I went to John. I said, man, how do you really know? So I'm in my early 20s. And I love John's response was, you know what, Greg, I guarantee you there are many women that you could build an amazing life with, fully within God's will. And therefore you need to decide, when you think about, you know, growing old, does it cause you pain to imagine Aaron not a part of that image? And that's the moment I went, it does. Like, I don't, yeah. Someday rocking in the rocking chair with my bride, you know, 50 years later, I wanted that person to be Aaron. And the point is that we get free choice. The only thing that God talks about when in terms of premarital engagement is that this couple needs to be, a Christian needs to be united with another Christian. He calls that being equally yoked. So think about that. That's God. The only thing he talks about in terms of marriage is that you need to marry another Christian if you're a believer. And so that's why that's such an important question. is that I know Taylor's heart, and I know that she's given her life to God. And therefore, that's a big deal for him that she needs to find another believer. So that's that's where I started with Caleb.
Well, they're one now, so Caleb works.
Exactly.
Yes. That'll be their first child.
Caleb.
Aaron, I have a question around this, asking for, again, you know, the discernment piece, because I know you and probably know plenty of women. I do it at my age now, you know, who wanted a wedding so bad, wanted a marriage, because when you get in those early 20s, you want a plan. Especially if everybody else has a plan. It's like, I don't even care if it's the wrong plan. I just want a plan, you know? And I know women in my age now who said, I checked the box on Christian. I mean, he said he was a Christian. But looking back, they were like, I didn't look further. I didn't really dig deep to say, he professed something, but was he living it?
Yes.
That is
and
so hugely important. So you're not that desperate.
Huge.
So say
Susie,
a word if you would.
I know someone recently who actually just broke off a one-year dating relationship because she had heard a sermon or a podcast all about you need to not only marry a Christian or be dating and moving towards marriage with a Christian, but it needs to be somebody who's on the same trajectory as you, that they have the same goals and aspirations in relationship with God. Now, it's not going to be identical, but you see that they are open to that and their choices are lining up with that. And thus, this young woman ended the relationship quite painfully, that it was hard to end it, but she knew that if this person wasn't pursuing God, he was a Christian, if he wasn't pursuing God at the same pace that she was, that it could be a huge red flag. And so she really felt called to end it and just to wait and see, like, what does he choose on his own? Because she didn't also want to be the reason that he started pursuing frantically. She wanted to know that he loved God. And so it's so important, as I love what you said, Susie, because it is 20, 30, 40 years later that they go, well, wait a minute, you said you were a Christian. Well, that doesn't mean that they're walking it out and, you know, allowing the Holy Spirit to change and grow and mold them. It's an important thing to look at. Okay, we're believers. That's the base here. But let's look at, how are we living this out? How is God working in your life?
I'm so glad. We've got about a minute and a half to our hard break here. But this is a hugely important point, because a couple of the women that I know now at this stage whose marriages are hanging on by a thread because the husband's shrugged his shoulders at his faith have said, okay, I probably didn't really want to know the depths of what was missing there. He professed it. I checked the box. So the kind of grit and courage it took for that young woman you're talking about to be able to walk away and lay that down, even if it's a good thing, but it's not the best thing.
Yes.
I mean, we need more young women to know who they are, because then it calls men to who they can be, you know?
Yes. Oh, that's so good. So, so good. Because, again, even those married friends of yours, you know, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, we can't change our spouse. And it's so important to recognize early on that this young woman set this young man free to really, and she continues to pray for him, that he finds God and that he allows God in into his entire life, not just the acceptance of him, but that he allows God to penetrate every aspect of his life.
Beautiful. We're going to pause here, talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. I kind of knew this would happen. Our conversations go where they're supposed to go, and we're on point one of, I think, 12. So, but we're going to get to where we need to go. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron, if you want to text in a question, you sure can, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Next point we're going to cover is, are you ready to make a lifelong commitment, and how do you know? More with the Smalleys in a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to my friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley of Focus on the Family, drawing from the content of an article Greg wrote you'll find on focusonthefamily.com/son-in-law, conversations every father should have with a future son-in-law. But as I said before the break, these are really questions every couple considering marriage should ask themselves and ask each other as well. The first one was, are you united spiritually? The second one is, are you ready to make a lifelong commitment? Speak to that one if you would. Aaron, I'll start with you.
It's important to take a look at this because, you know, as we've talked over the years, Susie, Greg and I agreed early on in our marriage that divorce wasn't an option. And that means that we have had to work through some really tough stuff and learn and grow. And so it's so important that as you enter into marriage, just to make sure that you're both on the same page that, hey, this is a lifelong commitment. Because when there's an out, when an out is an option, especially early on, if it's hard, well, then I'm going to take it. Because maybe I married the wrong person, or maybe you regret marrying me, or maybe I regret marrying you. You know, it's easier then to go, yeah, you know what? Divorce is an option, and I'm going to take it.
Okay. I'll never forget Caleb and I were sitting. So I took him out to a restaurant, so kind of after the marriage event. So I took him out to this restaurant. I know he loves anything sort of Cajun, and so I got him some oysters to eat. He loves all that. Of course, I bite into this, to an oyster, and seriously, Susie, I crunched down on a pearl.
Oh,
and
wow.
Almost broke my tooth.
Oh my goodness.
And I couldn't decide, is that...
Actually, Greg is missing his front tooth.
Because of that.
You just can't see it. It's gold, you know.
But it was so bizarre.
You get that little star. Anyway, keep going. Yep.
Yeah, sorry. Like, what are the odds that here, yeah, I take this oyster, which I don't even eat, didn't even really want to eat, but he's eating them, so I'll try one, and I get the one with the pearl. And I wasn't sure, wow, is this a sign that you're a treasure or that you're going to cause me a lot of pain? Not sure which direction to go. Although I do get them, an oyster with a pearl in it every anniversary.
Oh,
haha. So that's our
amazing
little thing. So, but for me, sitting at the table, I asked him, I said, I need you to look me in the eye. So this is one of those moments that are you committing to me that you are marrying my daughter for a lifetime, that there's no divorce isn't an option. And just to hear him kind of talk through that, I loved his response.
Beautiful. What did he say?
He said 100%. He goes, I agree with you that divorce isn't an option. I know that it's not always going to be easy and that we're going to have to keep working. But, you know, he pointed to the long-term marriage that his parents have and the long-term marriage that Aaron and I have is,
yeah,
you know, hopefully we've seen some good models of this and that we can, yeah, replicate what you guys have done as well.
Yeah. However, we always tell our girls not Taylor anymore, but when she was dating Caleb and Murphy as well, when they're dating, to really watch when hard times come within that dating relationship, how does that young man treat your heart? Because it'll be a good indication of how he treats your heart after marriage. And so, and I've also said, you know what, I don't expect, you know, your future spouse to be, you know, have a perfect, you know, life before they come into your life. But what I do expect is that you marry someone who's willing to go in and get help when things are hard. And, you know, that they're open and committed, so committed that if things get hard, we will go to counseling 100%. And if it's not a good fit with that counselor, we'll find another one. But we will stay at this. And so it is just instilling,
yeah,
that we're committed to this for a lifetime.
Very good. Greg, here's another one. What do you see in my daughter that makes you want to marry her? What do you want to hear on the other side of that question?
Well, nothing that would make me blush, that's for sure.
I did not see that coming.
She is so hot. Anyway, here,
yes,
eat another oyster with a pearl in it. What I'm looking for is, does he really see who she is in terms of the inner qualities? I mean, Taylor, I mean, she's my princess. So, I mean, you know, I think she's beautiful and I know she's beautiful. You know, she's fun. I mean, although she has some amazing qualities, but does he really get the inner qualities? Does he really see her integrity? Does he see her kindness, her loyalty? Does he see the way that she walks out her spirituality?
Yeah, does he value, you know, your dreams and your aspirations for life? You know, does he value that? That's a huge thing that, you know, I'm heading in this direction and I'm gifted in this area. Does he value that part of you as well? Or is it a threat to him?
That's what I'm looking for.
You guys have raised some strong daughters, so, you know, it's especially important that men can handle that because, you know, God wants to use your daughters in some significant ways, and nothing's worse than a misguided idea of leadership submission in a way that puts a woman under the thumb, kind of. And I know there's so much debate around this, so I may get an email or two, but I'd love for you both to speak about that, just because, you know, God made them, wired them the way that he did, but you guys raised them up to be women who think for themselves and who have backbone and conviction, and the world needs that. And yet sometimes that's looked at as a threat. So, I mean, I'm kind of, it's a broad open question here, but speak to it as you'd prefer.
Well, and actually, Susie, that was his response. So he says, one of the things I love about Taylor is just that she's really, really strong. And he goes, I value that. There's times where it's irritating, but he goes, I really see that is such a gift. And I certainly would give Aaron credit.
Well, that's what I was going to say is I can't imagine where they learned that or saw that modeled.
From their mommy, Aaron, and their auntie, Susie.
There you go.
Yes. And it is important, especially when you look at temperaments and humility. Is that going to be a good fit? And it's okay if it's not, but then don't walk down the aisle. You know, that it you know, this is an important trait that maybe isn't looked at. Is this a mismatch in this area? That's a good question to ask. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is a strong woman. How does the temperament of this man line up with that? And is it someone that he's so strong, equally as strong, and that they're going to be battling through every last thing? At the cost of one of them.
And you don't want her to dominate either. So, I mean, say a word about just the idea of you want his leadership, you want biblical leadership, but there's room for that in a marriage with a strong woman.
Yes, and it's so important that they learn how to navigate that. So even if they are two strong people, how do we navigate that? How do we work together? You know, and based on the daughter's response as well, you know, what does leadership look like? I love when I have couples come in and it's clear that they both have different ideas about what leadership looks like. And it's important that is something that you take a look at to make sure you're on the same page as far as what does this leadership style look like within our marriage and within our family.
Greg, what do you think about, I mean, you've talked about this before, but what do you sense and think is the biblical view of submission in Scripture?
That's an easy question.
Yeah. You notice how Aaron jumped in first?
Oh, I'm laughing. Oh, it's the S word.
Well, what I tell men, especially young men, is that one, that is never, ever, ever, never yours to ask for. That is between her and God. He is calling her to that he's not calling you to oversee that. And so that should never come out of his mouth. Oh, you're not being submitted, that ever. Your job is to love her as Christ loved the church. Your job, biblical leadership, is all about understanding that if my job is to love my wife, love comes from God. I need to make sure that I'm plugging into him as the source of that love and that my heart is fully open to both God and her, so that God is loving through me. So one, first and foremost, I need to be taking great care of myself to make sure that my heart is open, because otherwise God's love can't move through me. Therefore, I'm not even able to love her. So that's why my job, and that's a full-time job, is making sure that I'm doing the things to keep my own heart open. And then as he says, and love her as Christ loved the church, then my job then is to absolutely be sacrificing for my wife and for my kids. And you know what? If I'm worried about God and my heart being open so that he's loving through me, and that's showing up as sacrifice, this is how we know what love is. It says in the Bible that Jesus Christ laid down his life. So the evidence that my heart is open and I'm plugged into God is that I'm constantly sacrificing for my family. What woman wouldn't have an issue of submission? But again, that's never mine to ever question even. It drives me crazy, and I get on them. Man, the moment I hear a guy like questioning, well, yeah, you're not being submitted, that, man, I just want to punch him to go, that's not your,
really
yeah, that, yeah, shut the lips, because that is not your business. You worry about you and let that be between her and the Lord.
I appreciate that more than I can even express, because Aaron, I would say, and let me know if you agree with this, but I feel like if we feel safe and we feel loved and the man is relentlessly pursuing a relationship with the Lord in his own right, we'll follow him anywhere. If we feel safe and loved and he fears God, wouldn't you say?
100%. And to the women, that it's being submissive is not being mindlessly obedient. You know, that God equipped us as well as the helpmate, that we have a mind and a heart and we bring a lot to the equation. And so as Greg's saying, as she's submitting herself to God and allowing God, it's a heart issue. It's a heart gift that we give to God. Thus unto God, thus to our spouse. But it's important that it doesn't mean that we just are, you know, agreeing and shaking our head and never giving our opinion. And we have a lot to bring to the mix. And especially for those strong young women, I know, like our girls, they need to find someone who they really can work with and develop a healthy teammate mentality. That, yes, there is this position. We've both been given roles. And how is that going to look within our relationship?
Yeah, 1 Peter 3:8 talks about that it's being made clear to us that we are joint heirs, that we, Aaron and I, are equal. We are joint heirs. So as a husband and wife, we are on the same exact level. We are both made in God's image. We are both just as valuable, and we're equal. We have different roles within our marriage, and God lays that out in Ephesians 5. But again, I need to worry about me. And as long as I'm showing up with an open heart and sacrificing for my wife, then she can work that out of what that her role looks like. That's between her and the Lord.
You know what I love so much about, amen. Can I get an amen, friends? That's fantastic.
Amen.
What I love about how you love Aaron and what I love about how Kev loves me is we have all kinds of space to spread our wings, to be who God intended us to be ourselves, to be a work in progress without any condemnation. But we know that God has put you, you know, in our lives. So when you do kind of put your foot down or say, wait a second here, I'm going to listen, because I feel like God gives me so much room to be myself, that if Kev has a strong opinion about something, I want to stand up and notice, because he's honored me so well in letting me be who I am. I need to honor the gift of leadership in him. And it's a beautiful back and forth. I think a misunderstanding of it is when one is squished under the thumb and the other, it's really not inequitable. You know, where only one wins all the time, you know?
Right.
Yes.
Which isn't that's an absolute formula for failure within a marriage. And I even tell the guys, so look at that passage from Ephesians 5 and count the number of words, because 70% of the words are directed to the man. So that's why I say again, man, you've got a whole lot of, you need to figure out you. And Paul was talking really primarily to the man there, to the husband.
We come back. I want to have you talk about these two questions. How do you plan to support my daughter? And would you marry you? These are good questions. And, you know, it's amazing, as I've talked with young people, I've seen this scenario over and over again, where you've got a strong woman who's got a strong full-time job work ethic, and the guy's not working. But they're going to get married because the woman wants to have a plan. And of course, the guy has his cake and he's eating it too. And I feel like this question needs to be asked. How are you going to support my daughter? And you make a biblical case for this. We're going to pause here. We'll tackle those questions when we come back. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. This is born out of an article Greg wrote around conversations with your son-in-law. But as you can tell, these points are for anybody in marriage, I think, or considering marriage. But you'll find the article at focusonthefamily.com/son-in-law. We'll be back in a minute. Chose that song today, even though we're talking about marriage. Well, because we're talking about marriage, because we really need to live surrendered lives, all in lives for the Lord, if we want our marriages to be strong. I'm Sissy Larson. You're listening to Middays, talking to my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, about an article Dr. Greg wrote on Focus on the Family's website, Conversations You Should Have with Your Son-in-Law. But I've been saying throughout the show, this is much broader conversation. It's a great conversation piece for if you have a future son-in-law great. Plan a meal, sit down, ask the questions Greg's written here. But there's so much that we can apply to all of us here, and especially those who are considering marriage. This one is important and very specific to the son-in-law conversation, though. Greg, how do you plan to support my daughter? Talk about that one.
Yeah, which is such an important conversation. And Susie, I meant to make this point a while ago and I forgot, but let me say in a general sense that the part of the goal of this, certainly I want to understand, and work through some important questions with potentially my son-in-law, but a big part of the goal is that I am shaping the relationship that I will have with this person. I'm training this young man that you and I are going to tackle some tough issues, and this is going to be safe, and that you can come to me and we can have good conversations. So I always encourage, whether it's that dad or maybe that mom, you are training your future son-in-law around how you guys will communicate. And this is one of the first big opportunities, because I love now, Susie, one of the biggest joys of my life is that my son-in-law, Caleb, will call me and he'll say, "Hey, I'm facing here a challenge at work. Can you help me think through how I should handle this situation?" Hmm. Man, you talk about me feeling like I'm in heaven.
Greg starts salivating.
Oh, man. in a part of that, I really believe that happens now because of the time and effort that I put into making sure that Caleb and I had some really good discussions, including, you know, how are you going to support Taylor? Because he was finishing up college, so he was not going to be done when they wanted to get married, or he just was going to be finished. And that was my concern. I said, "Caleb, understand, you're not living with Aaron and I, and I don't bless that you turn around and live with your parents. You guys need to leave and cleave, and that includes financially. So kind of help walk me through." And it was great. He literally had a spreadsheet.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's our engineer.
Well, he's a rocket
son-in-law.
Science. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he walked me through, okay, this is the plan, and Taylor's doing this, and I'll be doing this, and here's, you know, and instantly I was like, "Hey, I'm comfortable with that. I just want to know that you've thought it
through." And you're like, "Will you take over my finances?"
Seriously. Here's my checkbook. Would you balance that while you're at it?
Oh, I love it. Well, you know, Linda Dillo years ago wrote a book, "What's It Like to Be Married to Me?" And that made me, I thought of that title when I saw this question, Aaron, would you marry you? Now here again, this is a question for a son-in-law, but it's also a question for any of us. So speak to that one.
Hey, before Aaron answers that, to set this up right. So Caleb, remember, rocket scientist.
Yes.
So he Googled me. Articles have I written? He tried to come into our discussion that getaway weekend with as much knowledge, trying to anticipate what will he ask me. And so when I got to this question, "What would you marry you?" it totally stumped him. And he even said that. He goes, "Man, I thought I was really prepared, but I got to think about this because you really have stumped me."
Thrown me.
And I loved when I heard about Greg asking this question, because I sat back and I was like, "Dang, that's a great question," because it's so true that would you marry you? Like, are there things in your life that you wouldn't want to tolerate, put up with, you haven't dealt with? You know, what is the case? What is the situation? What's going on inside of you? Maybe it's not external behaviors we're seeing. Maybe it's internal stuff. Maybe it is external stuff. You know, and how are you healing and dealing and coping with whatever you're up against? Because marriage is only going to be as healthy as the two individual parts. So it's essential that both have that growth focus. You know, like, "Hey, yeah, I dealt with alcohol, you know, at this age, but you know what, this is what I've done to deal with it." Many of the young couples that I work with, I know that pornography is absolutely going to be something that they have brushed up against, they've dealt with, maybe an addiction in one or both of them. And so asking, okay, so as you've brushed up against this, what have you done to battle it? What is your trajectory been towards taking a firm stand against that? And it's interesting to see the different couples respond to that. I don't think they'll expect that, you know, I'm just going to point blank say, "So how have you dealt with it?" Because it's not a matter of if, it's how. How have you dealt with this situation?
I even asked Caleb, as we were sitting there kind of under this particular question, I even said, you know, tell me what's been one of the biggest challenges that you've faced personally, and how have you overcome that? In how have you and God sort of worked that out?
That's a great
question. And it did, and even I asked him, I said, you know, I just assume that every one of our young men that we are going to be exposed to pornography. Talk about how you've handled that. And it was uncomfortable. And I knew Caleb, I didn't know him super well, but I just said, you know, hey, let's you know, give me the freedom to ask some hard questions. And I love that we were able to talk that through in a way
fantastic.
That I felt very comfortable giving him my blessing.
I'm so grateful you had that time with him. Here's another one. We've probably just got about 3 minutes left, but you have a whole book on this, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. I think it's such a great book. How do you manage conflict? You know, I mean, you have opportunities when you're dating to see how it's going to go with conflict. One of the things I'd say, the trademark things that I've gleaned from interviewing you guys all these years, is that relationship, like love, is a choice, but it's also a learned skill. You learn how to love the other person well. Relationships, you can acquire skills if you apply yourself to them. And so even if you're not super good at it, if you're committed to learning, that's half the battle. But what are you looking for when they are, you're asking the question, how do you manage conflict?
Well, and I would look at, Susie, you know, observing them, the couple, you know, and watching, you know, how do they handle when someone's upset or having a bad day? You know, what does that look like? And then asking each of them as well, you know, how do you handle it? How did your family handle it? And I am the poster child for, absolutely, you can learn how to do this. Even if you came from a family that didn't talk about conflict, or maybe screamed and yelled through conflict, or you don't have the first clue about how to deal with conflict. I was that person. And over 27 years, I've had plenty. Greg has given me plenty of opportunity for growth.
I'm laughing. I'm not
what
sure.
A positive,
is that a compliment?
Wonderful way to say it. So
dig.
Many growth opportunities with Greg.
It was,
you're welcome.
Yes,
maybe that's
was,
the right response.
It was interesting. My brother was with us over the weekend, and I only have one sibling, and we did a lot of reflecting on how things went within our home, our family of origin. And I just loved, I smiled over and over again, because it really, 27 years later, I can say I've come so far. And anyone, if I can do it, anyone can learn how to do this. They've got to be committed and open. And even early on within the relationship, going in and getting help, if you're stuck with, we don't know how to do this, it's okay. Go in and talk to someone.
Yeah. And Susie, when I was talking to Caleb, what I was looking for was, how do you handle my daughter's heart when you guys disagree? Mm-hmm. Is there room for her to disagree? Do you guys then work as a team to figure out a solution to whatever in a way that feels good to both? And so it gave me an opportunity to obviously, you guys are going to have conflict, and are you willing to walk through conflict in a way that preserves your team in the Jenkins team? And again, it was great, because there's another question that I was asking him around. Tell me about some of the different experiences that you've had with Taylor, as far as some of the, you know, the boring times as well as some real hard times. Because what you're looking for is, has this couple just kind of, you know, like Aaron and I, We spent our year of engagement. I was in Denver, Denver Seminary. She was working as a nurse in Phoenix. And so every time we got back together, it was reunion. It was great. It was wonderful. And just so happy to see one another. And we didn't have necessarily the time just to experience what's day-to-day life, sort of the boring routine, going to be like, as well as some harder times. When Taylor and Caleb were engaged, right before that, when they were dating, is when my father passed away. And I was with my dad and several other family members when my dad went to be with the Lord. We had just spoken. We were
with
at
you.
A conference with you.
I was still
right.
With you.
That's
yes.
right.
I got to tell you, we've got 30 seconds left, and you've got to tell the story, because I think I know what it is. So share what happened.
Well, so as my dad is literally taking some of his last breaths, I feel someone rubbing my neck and shoulders very sweetly, and I thought it was Taylor until I looked back and it was Caleb.
Mm.
And I just thought, you know what, you don't even have to ask me for her hand. I give you my blessing right now. I'll marry you right now.
Love you too. Thank you. Thank you for the time today.
Thank
Another
you,
great
thank
conversation.
You, Susie.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. Yes. Thanks for tuning in. We'll meet you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Susie Larson.